You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of December 10th, 2014, and this is the Experience Points Experience.
God damn it. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Alboy.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It's a serious but not humorless conversation about games, and it is the end of the year.
It is. It's almost that time of the year.
It's almost that goaty time of the year.
It is. It's almost goaty time.
But
not
have,
yet.
You'll have to wait another week or so. We're going to do a couple different goaty casts. This week, we're going to criticize other people's...
That'd be hilarious, actually. What were you thinking?
But we can criticize video game fat cats like Jeff Keighley and giant multinational corporations like Sony.
Yes, indeed.
There was a couple recent events that we thought would be kind of fun to talk about.
Back-to-back events.
Yeah, and I think it was actually pretty smart on Sony's part.
Sure.
To get everyone hyped up. But so the Game Awards, the evolution... of the Spike video game awards?
I mean, coming from Spike, it has to be an evolution, right? I mean, is there a worse venue for that to appear on?
Probably not.
Probably not. Like RedTube or something. One of those, like, internet pornography sites.
The Porn Video Game Awards.
You know, YouPorn is sponsoring a professional League of Legends team now.
Okay, so. Yeah. This is a sidebar, but I saw that on Gawker.
You saw it on Gawker, Scott.
Oh, please. Everybody knows. Wait, Gawker Media lost their porn site, right?
Did they have a porn site?
Yeah, they used to have a porn site. It was called, like, Sexbot or something like that. I don't know if they shut it down, though.
Not enough traffic?
Not enough. Everyone was in incognito mode. They couldn't...
they weren't getting any ad revenue. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, but... So Gawker was like, oh, yeah, the... what was it? YouPorn? It was YouPorn.
Yes, YouPorn.
Who was like, yeah, well, we're used to a lot of controversy.
Sure.
But we have what a lot of the other sponsors don't have, which is essentially unlimited funds to fund this
team.
Yes,
we are rich.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, well, good for you. Like, you're putting it out there. Anyway, how did we get to talking about porn?
I don't know. Okay. We're talking about the Game Awards.
Oh, right, because of Spike.
Spike dropped the Spike Video Game Awards, the VGAs, as they were lovingly called. Scott and I, we talked about that on the podcast a few times, what our ideal video game award show would be like.
Mm-hmm.
This is an interesting difference, I think, and there's two things that stand out about the Video Game Awards that I wanted to talk about. The first being, it's strictly online. It only aired on the internet.
Aired.
So we have long lost our stakeholders in the television race, right? I mean, at this point, are we done? G4's gone. Spike's not really covering their stuff anymore.
Well, I mean, neither of us have had cable for, what, years?
Yeah, for sure. Uh-huh.
So, I mean, like, who are they trying to get, you know? Like,
I don't know.
I mean, the other thing, too, is, like, video games on television, like, Call of Duty premieres during NBA basketball games.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, they have found that there are people watching other shows that also play video games.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
And like, I mean, who would care to go to Spike, you know?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's watching Game of Thrones, so all you have to do is run an ad against Game of Thrones and you win.
Joffrey, the kingdom is burning and you're playing Flappy Bird.
I mean, quiet down! What do you think? Telltale is, like, loving their Game of Thrones deal right now. In addition to the fact that it only broadcast on the internet, they also brought back some of the old awards. They have the Best Game of the Year award, and they have a bunch of weird, silly ones. They also have a huge section for fan-nominated awards.
Yeah.
And this is the weird one.
Yep.
And I have mixed feelings, right? On one side, I work with a company that takes... fan community seriously. I take fan community seriously. I think it's a great idea.
Thank you for everyone listening to this.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea for people to let people vote on your games, for your awards for those games. That being said, some of the categories are a little weird.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it's because they're concerned people are just going to troll vote.
I don't know. Like, I mean, there could have already been troll voting.
Sure.
Like, yeah. I was... I was listening to the Giant Bombcast, and they were making fun of Jeff Gerstmann for being nominated for Trending Gamer.
Yeah, trending. Like, but what? Who demands that? Like, I just don't understand. Yeah. Who is asking? You know what I really want to vote for? I want to vote on which YouTube star is the most "quote unquote" trending. And the Jeff Gerstmann is like, he's been in the industry for years and years.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a testament. Like, one thing they were saying, it's a testament to, like, I'm like, he was like saying, well, I'm like the only old man that has that. People still know in video. The rest of them are like, you know, PewDiePie and like Nadeshot and stuff. And
I mean, they know Jeff Keighley, but he's probably disqualified since he's running the show.
But then the other thing that he surmised was that he may have written himself in as a joke, and then it and then it went too far and got actually on
that's
the
a good sign. That's got to be a good sign, right?
So, I don't know. I'm not an expert in this.
Well, and the winner of that award was Total Biscuit. He's come under massive controversy for being a general internet shitwad.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like the coolest dude and is potentially even actually a douchebag. Like, I mean, it's weird.
I mean, there's just some questionable ideas around the sort of what the fans should vote on, I think. I just generally going back to a conversation we had a long time ago, I think it should just be a blend, right? Like, shouldn't we just have... Let's have a few select critics make up, say, 51% of the sway, and then the rest of America can, or the world, can vote on the remaining 49%, right?
Okay.
I just imagine there's got to be a better way than just opening it up and trying to find really bizarro categories that will jive with audience members.
Yeah.
Or fan viewers, I should say.
Well, and it also is somewhat telling, I guess. Maybe it was just because I was busy or maybe I wasn't paying attention, but I kind of barely knew that this was happening.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was on Twitter and was like, oh, something must be happening. Oh, right. It was that weird Jeff Keighley thing. I guess I heard about that like 6 months ago. I guess now it's happening. You know, like, I wasn't really keyed into it. So
I'd be curious to know if it was a financial success.
Yeah.
I mean, good for him on trying, though. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I'm glad someone's trying to do it.
It seemed less sleazy, like there weren't, like, you know, bikini babes around or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wait, were there?
I mean, probably in Jeff Keighley's booth, but just not amongst everybody else.
The Keighley groupies. Well, maybe we should talk about a few of the categories, because we also want to talk a little bit about the PlayStation Experience, which was basically, like, a big Sony trade show.
Yeah.
But I thought there was actually a lot of interesting stuff that came out of there. I don't know. What'd you like? The best remaster? I thought that was just a depressing, like, commentary that we're actually, like, doing that now.
But, I mean, we're at a point now where, like, remastered games are so common that you kind of need it,
and
right?
Also, they even nominated Halo the Master Chief Collection, a game that is still broken.
Yes.
A month after it came out.
Side note, during the Thanksgiving break, I went over to, like, my nephew's place and played it. Mm-hmm. It is phenomenally broken.
Yeah.
It is... I mean, I was stunned by how broken the Master Chief Collection is right now.
Yeah, which is nuts because that's coming from Microsoft.
Yeah, of all the people who could handle the connectivity issues and matchmaking systems.
What about the power of the cloud, man?
What are you doing right now?
Where's my Azure?
Yeah, so I think the best remaster kind of makes sense these days, especially as the next-gen consoles start launching more and more remastered versions of old games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bastion's coming to PS4 and all sorts of old games. Final Fantasy VII, finally. am I right?
Wait, we should talk about Final Fantasy VII for a second. That's not an HD remaster.
It's not.
It's not a remaster. So it wouldn't be up for the remaster category.
It would
They're
be
porting
up for the...
a 1997 standard def 4x3 game to the PlayStation 4.
Finally, you can sell your PlayStation and buy a PS4. All the holdouts who were complaining about backwards compatibility with console generations 3 years removed.
That's or three so generations. Nuts. It's so nuts that they can that you're. I guess they don't need to. People are going to buy it anyway. It's
I'll
been on PC
it,
for
whatever.
A long time. I mean, like, it just seems like I don't know. It's just such a shock that they are just porting a weird old SD game.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I don't know.
They have the best esports player of the year category.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was really interesting. And I think it's interesting, actually, for the same reason I find the trending gamer silly, but also interesting, which is everyone knows now that there are aspects of gaming that just weren't really in the critical space.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Right.
Esports players, esports teams right now are really big. They have a lot of following. They have a lot of popularity. And so people want to have that represented in something like a game award show.
Mm.
The same goes for trending gamers. So many people watch PewDiePie and get their game news and their game reviews from sort of, you know, amateur in some way, YouTube stars.
Yeah.
That's really interesting and that's totally different. And I commend Keighley for trying to bring that into the mainstream and recognize it as something that's, you know, maybe not as important, but up there in importance in terms of, you know, respecting and understanding what people are into these days.
And I think that's a good point of, you know, Keighley is like, you know, traditionally, like, he's the establishment, right? I mean, sure. Like, not in a bad way, but I mean, he has a long history of like more formal video games journalism.
Right.
And I think video games writing and sites in general, like, they don't know what the fuck to do. Like, are these, you know, YouTube people yeah. are getting more hits than them on their amateur, like, you know, self-cam yeah. produced videos.
Millions, you know? Of more yeah. hits than them.
So it's like, wait a second, we're supposed to be being paid to do this, and some person is just putting this stuff up there and, you know, mopping us, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And so it's like, I think it's a good sign to, like, not have an adversarial relationship.
I agree.
And also to acknowledge the future of, like, everything is going to be fan driven to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Like, I like the best fan creation was Twitch Plays Pokemon.
Yeah.
I think that's which really is great. Cool. Like, Twitch Plays Pokemon was one of the most amazing stories of the year.
Oh, totally, like, agreed.
For sure.
Yeah.
At work, there were people that just had that live stream on their second just monitor. Running. Because, like, they didn't yeah. want to, like, miss anything. It right. was like watching the Olympics or something. Like, so, I mean, like, it was a legit
open that start menu.
Yeah, it's like, oh no, you press select again. Yeah, it's just, it was nuts, and I'm glad that they are, like, back in the day, a little mod or a fan thing wouldn't have had that sort of recognition.
Yeah, you know? The problem that I have with that, as well as the other two categories, is that the fact that it's in an award show, which mm-hmm. is necessarily a sort of generalist approach to games, shows exactly how niche games and gaming has become.
Yeah.
Which then, in turn, makes award shows like this that much more superfluous.
Mm.
Like, the Game Award Show category for Esports Team of the Year includes League of Legends and Dota 2. Mm. Some of the Esports Players of the Year include people from, like, StarCraft and stuff. Like, no one, you know, or Hearthstone or Counter-Strike, mm. right? Like, people who know who Get Right is or James Firebat Kostish don't in turn know who Reckless is, per se. Because these aren't people who are into one sport. They're in, all of these are different sports. It's like having MVP of the year and you're voting on basketball, hockey, right. football,
it's like,
and like long distance running. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You know, yet you still have that here. So the idea of,
but is it better to break them out into their,
yes, their, I think, into, so
yeah, hmm.
I mean, because they already have their own awards to some extent. What right. it means is, while I commend the attempts to loop this all into one big thing, isn't this also the year of us realizing, well, gaming isn't really one big thing anymore,
right.
in many ways.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make sense to have maybe a game award show at all.
Yikes. Take that, Keighley.
Or, I mean, maybe it yeah. just doesn't make sense for Esports Player of the Year. It's yeah. one of those things that you want to respect. You want to find room for esports fans and that segment of gaming that is so important to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It's important to me. This past weekend, I went to Intel Extreme Masters in San Jose
yeah.
to watch people play at, like, the Shark Stadium, a huge stadium, right? It's awesome. I love it. I don't think that having people vote on League of Legends and Dota 2 and Call of Duty players in a game award show makes that much sense.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, and I guess that's just the uniqueness of the medium, where it's kind of a, some things you're talking about are, like, artistic experiences, not in, like, the big A art or whatever, but some of them are, like, competitions.
Sure.
You know, like, yeah. it's just the medium is not, like, you can, regardless of how you feel about the Oscars or something, you can say, well, it's all the same basic medium. Like, you're not really, one is you're not measuring APMs, and the other you're measuring, like, oh, what a beautiful god ray that is.
That's true. You know? And you know, even with the Oscars, that's another good example, right? At the Oscars, all the technical awards they give up before it ever starts to air.
Yeah.
Because they know the audience for those are niche. It's a yeah. small group of people who care what, you know, best lighting director is or what have you, right?
Right.
It's got to be the same here to some extent.
Did they have any of the, I mean, most of the ones that I'm seeing are just kind of like best game overall, like best right. mobile handheld, best fighting game, which went to Smash, best racing game, which went to Mario Kart. So apparently Nintendo is like,
neither of which are yeah. taken seriously, I guess, as fighting games or racing games.
I guess. I mean, like, Smash is getting more serious, I suppose, but also Mario Kart also won for the best family game. So, like, the
can you have both?
I mean, yeah,
families love racing.
They're just all over the place. And but I mean, a lot of these I don't see as, like, you know, best graphics or, you know, best, I don't know, whatever.
Sure.
Slowest load, you know, longest load times. Like, I just, there's not a lot
you,
of like.
You want more critical things? Shittiest release.
I mean, it's just, it's worst a lot
marketing
of like.
Campaign.
There's a Games for Change one, which went for Valiant Hearts. Like, best narrative went to Valiant Hearts as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the closest there was to the more, like, I guess, kind of component parts of it are like Destiny one for soundtrack, yeah. Like the score.
Great soundtrack.
Yeah. Trey Parker won for South Park, The Stick of Truth for voice acting.
Wow.
Beating
good.
Out Troy Baker and...
Sorry, Troy.
Who else? Oh, Kevin Spacey. And so I saw the...
I somehow doubt Kevin Spacey was at the award show.
I saw the acceptance speech and Trey Parker said, "Video games are the greatest artistic medium in the world because... only in video games could I beat Kevin Spacey in any acting-related thing or something." And then he just walked off the stage.
That's pretty great.
So, yeah. I mean, I think there was some stuff that was, like... I think it's very easy to get into, like, the sickest graphics, sweetest fun factor. Yeah. But, like, I'd rather see more things like, you know, like Family Game. Because at least that's kind of really? Thought-provoking. Yeah. I think it's thought-provoking, even if I don't like it, which I don't. I think it's kind of a dumb category.
Best creative director, best art design, best world.
Sure.
Best...
I think something, especially like art design.
Yeah.
Or like something that recognizes more the team aspects is like it's more descriptive of the actual role, and it's less about like graphics. Like, what does that even mean? Yeah. You know, like art style versus. Verisimilitude can actually be pitted against each other.
Yeah,
you
know? And I like the idea of, I mean, if you're gonna have fun and go weird, especially with fan voted categories, I would go more the sort of fictional genre approach, like best sci-fi game, best fantasy game, best, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
you know, you'll have contenders that are all.
But then you have
board.
To do like, oh, should we do genre, mechanical genre, and thematic genre?
I mean, like, I don't generally like thinking about mechanical genre
because there's like best shooter. Which was, like, the only mechanical genre, really, that they...
I mean, pretty soon you're going to have best MOBA, right?
Yeah. I mean, they should. Then that will... The flames will engulf us all.
I mean, they know what's going to win, right? Like, best PC game went to League of Legends. How does that make sense? That game came out in 2009.
Yeah. Well, they couldn't do Dota because a bunch of people claimed Dota as their game of the year last year.
I mean,
Dota
you could do Hearthstone, but it won for mobile game, right?
Yeah.
So it's like... It's just kind of... Games are so weird, man. Games are so weird. What are we going to do? Let's move on, shall we? Let's talk about Sony stuff.
Yes, let us talk about Sony stuff.
So, right after this event, that same weekend, Sony launched their Sony Experience, PlayStation Experience,
the excuse PSX.
Me. PSX, which is a cute name, in Las Vegas, Nevada. Debauchery ensued. It was chaos. No, everybody announced a lot of a variety of upcoming PlayStation games. And we thought we would couple it with the Game Awards show since both are relatively newsworthy with some highlights. I think leading the highlight, 14-minute gameplay.
Oh, God.
I guess you could call it a trailer of Uncharted 4.
Yeah.
A Thief's End.
Man, we were just watching this like 5 minutes before we started, before we turned the mics on, and my interpretation was this looks like some Uncharted-ass Uncharted.
It is very Uncharted. There's a grappling hook, though. So
that's good.
That's nice. The one thing I will say, though, is there... Maybe this is just me using, you know, thinking... with the power of retrospect, but it looks like it's inspired a lot by Tomb Raider in this weird, like, recursive Uncharted Tomb Raider
oh,
kind of way.
You mean how so? Like the caves?
Well, he's exploring,
like,
when he's exploring the caves or climbing the hill, it seems like there's a darker tone. And I know they're going for that because, you know, this is a story in which Nathan Drake is much older.
Yeah.
I think the stakes are, you know, it's a little bit more maybe... macabre or a more sad, melancholy story.
Well, I mean, like, we're just counting the days till Sully gets iced, right? Like, there was some, you know, there's some hints in the trailer or whatever. Like,
sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm really looking forward. I'm a big fan of the Uncharted games. I'm looking forward to it.
I play the Uncharted games like I play the Call of Duty games, basically.
What, you hate play them?
I kind of, yeah. A little bit. Except the Call of
Duty. It's curiosity, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's kind of a state of the... of the action adventure game.
Yes.
You know, it's a state of the character platformer or whatever.
Although I feel like we've got so many more options at this point for games like that.
Yeah. Well,
like, you don't even need it anymore. You've got The Last of Us, you've got Tomb Raider.
Yeah. Last of Us wasn't too jumpy, so I was like more of a Gearsy type feel to me anyway. I don't know. But I think Naughty Dog overall is just like if you want to see what people are doing with acting in games,
oh, yeah,
you should probably play any Naughty Dog game that comes out.
Yeah.
And if you want to see what they're doing just technologically with like motion capture and stuff, like,
just go to the studio, hide in the bushes, look through their window. Hey,
Nolan,
what are you working on?
Nolan, is that mocap suit itchy?
God, this guy again. Jeez, somebody take him out. What else? What else came up out of that Sony event?
So I found the reason why I'm going to, if I don't buy it before, why I'm going to buy a PS4.
Ooh, okay.
So
it's not Destiny couldn't do it for you.
Destiny couldn't do it for
me. Final Fantasy VII's not doing it for you. System seller, Final Fantasy VII.
I saw that Bloodborne.
But that's coming up pretty soon, right?
That's coming up pretty soon.
February, March?
That's what they say. We'll see what happens. So there is this this mode called the Chalice Dungeon.
Yeah.
Which is
a fantasy ass title, right?
It's
there.
It's a procedural dungeon, so it's kind of turning it into like a roguelike.
Great.
So it's great. Like, so it's procedurally generating environments on Bloodborne.
So you're saying it's impossible now to memorize the layout of the room.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm super fascinated by that because part of Dark/Demon Souls is memorizing things.
Right.
And I want to see what happens in one of these games where they will shuffle up the dungeon.
I mean, what you have to do now is memorize like the animation cues of what specific things might look like.
Yep.
Like, yo, I heard you were about to have a heart attack. Let me give you an endorphin push.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that, like, I was already really interested in Bloodborne, but knowing that they are taking some cues from other stuff that's been popular,
right,
like things like Spelunky or Binding of Isaac or any of the stuff, that procedural stuff that's coming out, I think that's going to be great.
Well, it's also a three-player co-op, which is an odd number. But
it is very, well, literally, I mean, literally an odd number.
That's a fun idea. I'm really looking forward to playing Bloodborne for a couple hours and then stopping.
We could easily, the two of us, we can easily get one extra person and we can go through all of Bloodborne.
Okay.
I'll carry you to Mordor.
So, yeah, you better. You're going to have to carry me.
Yeah.
Can we take a brief moment to talk about how much blood is depicted in that trailer?
There's a lot of blood.
It is like an
trailer.
Absurd amount of blood.
Yeah.
It's like everyone is actually just a balloon full of blood. That's what it means to be Bloodborne. It's like you were born.
You
got to
mark
blood.
Your way through the maze with other people's blood.
It's a little absurd. Let's see what else. Witcher 3 showed off another cinematic. That looks pretty good. Yep.
I mean, I'm more excited just about the Witcher. Maybe that's the first Witcher I'll ever play. Like, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I've never played them before, but they've always seemed to be really cool.
It got pushed back to March, May?
Sure.
Today?
March, everything seems to be in
everything
March
has
now.
Been
Everyone's
back.
Like, oh, Q1 of 2015, we're fine.
Sony announced that there is, in fact, a new God of War game coming out for the PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Rumor has it.
Did they say anything about that? I didn't really follow it very much.
They didn't announce. They didn't show anything. They haven't talked about it. There is a rumor that it is a reboot of the franchise. Have you any interest in that?
I mean, I think those games are really good. But I think they tied it up in one of the most exquisite ways.
A beautiful bloody bow.
Yeah, I mean, as far as a big AAA game series can go, they tied it up in the most poetic way they possibly could. So it's kind of a weird pill to swallow. They've already made God of War Ascension, so it's not. I mean, they've been back to this well beforehand, so I've kind of made my peace with that. But I'll totally play it. I mean, I love those games.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if I want to see a total reboot. I feel like you might lose some of the good stuff from it if you have to retell a story.
I mean, they should have just turned it into, we've been saying this for years now, but they need to just like turn it into a series where like now you're playing the Norse God of War.
I'm okay
with
that.
Like now you're playing the Hindu God of War, you know, like anything.
Just reskin the entire game with like different abilities?
Sure, why not? A new story? Like, I mean, I don't know the myths of like ancient Japan well enough.
Yeah.
Like I could stand to like go to a new thing that isn't ancient Greece, you know?
As long as there's a warning in the beginning that it's made by a multi-ethnic group of religiously diverse individuals. Let's see. What else?
How'd you like Drawn to Life?
What else? Drawn to Life.
Oh, Drawn to Death.
Drawn to... Yeah, excuse me. Very different.
Yeah.
Yeah, David Jaffe's new, it looks like a sort of hardcore action game.
Yeah.
It's got a neat aesthetic, but it feels like it's
a little shooty, a little brawlery, you know?
It feels a little bit 90s to me.
I mean, David Jaffe is the 1990s. Like, this is not, you know, this is the man that brought us Twisted Metal. Like, sure, yeah. There could be nothing more 1990s than that.
I feel like that world has come and gone, though.
He's
like,
just a relic of a bygone era.
I mean, to some extent, like
came from David Jaffe and his JNCO jeans.
I mean, the the idea. So, you know, we'll have all of these trailers and links to this content
in
the show notes. But the trailer is very much shows off the art design inspired by David Jaffe's own personal grotesque high school notebook.
Right. Yeah.
Right. All sorts of scrawlings. At one point, the hand of the creator comes through with a pencil and will, like, crush foes into bloody pulp. It's fun. I think that's a cool idea, but it feels a little bit dated to me.
I think you're... I mean, it is kind of...
I mean, people don't even write notebooks anymore, Scott. Like, to some extent,
kids,
right?
Kids in their,
like,
iPads.
Sure. Okay, we laugh, but, like, seriously, like, a lot of that aesthetic is gone, right?
Yeah. Well, in that case, then, it's like an homage. It's like creating a game like...
Scott, homages don't sell.
That's probably true. Well, I mean, you know... Every, like, Far Cry game is an homage to, like, all, you know, the original one, I guess. But, like, I mean, I think that since God of War, David Jaffe has been a niche developer at best.
Right.
I mean, it's fine. If you're the guy who came up with Twisted Metal and God of War, you've made more contributions to, like, the history of gaming than most people ever
you've
will.
You've done your job, Dave. Yeah. You've done your job, David. Sleep.
Rest. Rest.
Rest, sweet prince.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, fine. Whatever he wants. This game also looks fairly... From the trailer, it looks like it could potentially be fairly limited in scope.
Sure.
Like, it doesn't look like a God of War. No,
yeah, it looks, you know, like a $10 indie game.
Yeah. Which is fine. I think maybe that's... It's kind of like... He's like the twisted, like, counterpart to, like... Oh, no, he's like the opposite of, like, Tim Schafer. He doesn't have a goatee, but he's the evil one.
Yes,
you know, like,
yes.
He's, like, done a lot of AAA stuff, but he's always kind of a little bit off to the side, like... Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'd rather give him a small project and let him go nuts with it than, like, have him do, like, yet another Twisted Metal reboot.
Old Grandpappy Jaffe. We'll be playing your games until we're old, too.
Well, that's already happening.
Watam.
Oh, yeah.
By the creators of Katamari Damacy.
Yeah.
We don't know what this is, but we're going to play it.
Yeah, it's just a little figure putting on hats.
I bet you dimes to dollars putting on hats. Is, like, a crucial aspect of gameplay.
Well, we all know that hats are crucial to video games in general. I mean, he's finally getting on the train.
Yeah.
He's getting on the hat
train. Although
the
most crucial hat, the fedora, does not make an appearance.
Yet. It's just a trailer. I think Keita Takahashi is amazing.
Yes.
I mean, Katamari Damacy and Nobi Nobi Boy are both masterpieces in absurdity.
Absolutely.
Putting out a trailer where there's just, like, a weird polygonal guy trying on various hats that look basically the same.
With a bomb on his head.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. PS4...
Actually, maybe that's why I'll buy a PS4.
It's a good reason. Yeah. Another good reason, What Remains of Edith Finch.
Oh, yeah.
This is from the team who... I think it's Little Sparrow?
Giant Sparrow.
Giant, okay, yeah. Exact opposite. That is their competitor.
Yeah.
The creators of Unfinished Swan, which you enjoyed quite a bit.
I
never
liked
played.
It a lot.
Yeah.
I think everyone should play that game with the caveat that... You need to take frequent breaks if you're prone to motion sickness, because, like, that game was rough.
Sure.
But anyway, yeah, I think that game looks super interesting.
Yeah.
That first Unfinished Swan game, I remember seeing it, like, 3 years before it came out. They worked really hard on it, and it paid off amazingly.
Yeah.
Like, it was way better than I even thought it would be, and it was way more diverse. Like, it was more than that paint mechanic.
Yeah, and really experimental. I know it did the circuit around a bunch of festivals. It was at IndieCade, I think, twice.
Yep.
Before finally being released, and it was well received.
Yeah.
I hope that they made enough money off of it to really invest a lot in Edith Finch. It looks really great already.
Yep.
The trailer is just really interesting. There's another game. Well, actually, there's two more games that I don't know if you would call them genre similar, but the trailers are similar, right? Moody, atmospheric, first person view.
Street Fighter V.
Yeah. One is Fulbright's new game, Tacoma.
Oh,
not mentioned at this thing, but I think is interesting.
I mean, it premiered at the Game Awards, so it kind of circled back, but
And two, a game called Adrift. Did you see this?
I didn't see that.
So this is 505 Games. I don't know what else they've worked on, but it's basically you play as Sandra Bullock in Gravity.
So after you've gone adrift and you're just
you're just adrift, and
it's like that episode of Futurama when Bender gets shot out of the spaceship.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know.
I'd play
maybe
that.
And there's no combat. It's a non-combat game. You're floating around. You're trying to get oxygen to survive and then basically rebuild or fix a space shuttle to allow you to survive. Hmm. That looks pretty cool.
Is it? I didn't see this at all. Is it first person?
It is. It's entirely first person.
Nice.
All that floatiness and stuff. Yeah. Hmm.
I think both of those, and also Tacoma is set on the moon.
It is set on the moon.
So, I mean, there's like a little space. Well,
I mean, pretty soon we're going to live on the moon. So I think, you know, culture, we try to keep up.
Steve Gainer and company are just trying to prepare us for our inevitable moon life.
Yeah, I think they want to claim the moon in the name of Portland, Oregon. I think is what they're trying
to set up my food, my moon food stand, my food truck on the moon.
Yeah, it's ours if we put a bird on it, right?
I really like. It's a super hipstery thing to say, but obviously Gone Home was one of my favorite games last year, and seeing them...
He's saying this while he's twirling his long, oiled mustache. Yeah.
I mean, I think that I want to see them continue that style. Like, I'm happy that they're not, like, totally breaking into, like, oh, we're going to do a 2D SketchUp platformer or something. Like, no, like totally, like, stick with the theme for a little bit and see where you can go with it.
Right.
And then after that, you know, it's kind of like what, Supergiant did with Bastion to Transistor.
Yeah.
It's like, it's definitely, you can see the lineage of it, but you are iterating on a different form of the type of game that you like to play.
Bastion, by the way, coming to the PS4 also.
Bastion is on every single thing with
a screen.
Might
as well be.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, we should say, I think that all of the games that have been talked about at the PlayStation Experience, there's a lot of really compelling reasons to get a PS4.
Yeah. It's something we've been saying for a while now. Like, Sony's been bringing it, though.
This podcast brought to you by Sony.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not true. But, I mean, yeah, they've been bringing it. They And you know what? Maybe it's not... You know, maybe it's not Sony saying, oh, we're going to go out and collect all of these. And, you know, a lot of them aren't exclusive.
Yeah.
If you play the PC, by all means, you can get half of these games on the PC as well.
Yep.
But I think what's interesting is that it is still, they're still maintaining an atmosphere that feels welcoming to indie developers.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's not a small feat, I think, in this day and age when it's so easy to come to PC. And, you know, to be fair, it is so hard to poke your head out of the sand with everybody else also poking their head out of the sand. It's hard to be noticed on Steam. So when Sony says, you know, The Forest, for example, is coming to PS4, to me, that's really exciting news. Yeah. It means I'm probably not going to get it out on Steam. Or the people who, you know, aren't maybe buying the game in droves in the early alpha get a chance to play it on the PS4 when it's been given some support and some backing. I think that's kind of cool.
They're able to pick their spots in a way that Valve tends to not do.
Right.
And so you'll get fewer shots, but the people that do get the shots, you know, have, you know, so much more, I mean, so many more eyeballs, like on a specific platform.
I mean, and some of them don't need it, to be fair, right? Like, Double Fine has two games coming out on the PS4 from this whole thing.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like, Double Fine is you know, they also have like a rabid fan base.
Yeah.
But Giant Sparrow is one of those games that, you know, got funding through Sony Santa Monica or something like that, and without that setup, it's kind of like that game company.
Yeah.
Like, without Sony's initial investment, we probably wouldn't have Journey or Flower or Flow.
Yeah.
And so it's like they're able to funnel the money into something that it kind of offsets the huge, like, Destinies of the world, where it's like, oh, if you're looking for something different, fine, you know, we have, like, Octodad was on PS4. Yeah. You know, it's just they've been aggressive on both ends. They're also aggressive on, like, the business development side of, like, somehow locking down Super Street Fighter Street Fighter 5 for
PC
Sony
and PS4
PC
exclusive.
That's nuts.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, what kind of signatures, like, what kind of backroom Japanese deals happened between Capcom and Sony Japan to make that happen?
I mean, they are Japanese. At least that helps.
I mean,
they got that going for them.
I'm serious, though. Like, I don't... It's just kind of amazing. Like, why would you not put your thing out on Xbox as well?
Yeah.
You know?
And to that end as well, to present themselves as a space for multiplayer games.
Yeah.
Because you're talking Street Fighter V. We have Gang Beasts, that like really fun game from Double Fine. Like, they're trying to bring... They're bringing the sexy back. And by sexy, I mean multiplayer... play, like, how
after it
play.
Was so dismal on the PS3.
Yes,
you know, it's exactly. Like, they looked at every single thing that was wrong and were like, okay, we're gonna put a shitty microphone in the box and we're gonna, like, make sure that we have, you know, couch co-op, and it's like, that's the exact opposite, you know, of what happened.
I think it's pretty cool, and I think that I mean, again, it's hard because the PlayStation experience, it's out on its own waters, right? This is an E3. It's not like Microsoft is having their press announcement right across the street, but I think that looks really good for 2015. There's a really cool allotment of games coming out for that console, which are probably going to look freaking gorgeous, and I don't know. I actually think it's pretty exciting.
Also, now that you bring it up, like, why does E3 even happen anymore at this point? Like, Sony put on a show that was better than their E3 show last year.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, every single thing was more interesting and more informational than their E3 show. Microsoft could easily do the same thing. Nintendo's been doing Nintendo Directs for like a year.
I think the answer to that question is the same answer to why there's a video game award show to some extent.
Because Jeff Keighley willed it into existence.
Like, he is the maker. He is the one behind this all.
The traveler.
The true. Jeff Keighley. No Man's Sky, by the way, also.
Oh, and also No Man's... So yeah, No Man's Sky is something that I'm interested in, kind of like a... The same way I was interested in
Goddess. Watching a house burn. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm fascinated in that thing.
Yeah.
Also, Miyamoto and Onuma did a little demo walkthrough of the new Zelda game that's coming out. Oh, yeah.
Not the Sony experience.
Not the Sony experience, but
during that'd be, the whoa, games, Sony got that deal. They got the Zelda deal.
The exclusive home of The Legend of Zelda.
Dude, can you imagine? That'd be crazy.
I want to see that happen just to see people's faces melt off on the internet, but that will never happen.
No.
I mean, that stuff, and even, like, they were talking about...
But in terms
about,
of, like, why is there an E3 when Nintendo just releases whatever they want, whenever they want?
We're going to sit Miyamoto in front of a TV and have him play Zelda for
a while. Is that an Apple? Great.
Yeah, like, it's like, again, like, everything that happened there was more interesting than what happened at E3, so it's like, unless it's turning into a trade show in the classic sense of businesses being done behind the scenes and the show floor, who cares what's going on the show floor? This is like an event about dudes in jeans and sport coats shaking hands in the kind of upper hallways of the room. Like, it's very much more like a traditional trade show, like, instead of, because, like, everyone can do their own little things now. Like, why have the big spectacle, you know?
I mean, probably just to put it into people's hands. I think that's the one. That's the one thing it's good for, is let people play it.
Right.
I mean, they get a lot of space. A lot of people can play it. The important people, that is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right. Well, a lot of stuff. It was exciting, kind of like end of the year thing.
Yeah, I was actually kind of surprised because I didn't know either the Video Game Awards or PSX was happening until the day of.
Yeah, I saw people, like, talking on Twitter, and I was like, oh, I guess people are watching this.
Some cool stuff. I'm going to play Bastion again, Final Fantasy VII again.
Yeah, it'll be like, it'll be like that. You'll go to play Final Fantasy VII, switch it up with some other 1990s hot action, like, from David Jaffe. Like,
exactly.
An homage to the 1990s with Bastion. There's an homage thing.
Yeah, it's diverse.
Yeah. It's the dream of the 90s is alive in Moon Portland. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
It really should be Space Portland.
Space Portland. Yeah. Well, it's on the moon.
Our own moon base is experiencepoints.net. Come by, give us a review for this podcast. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. It helps us stay afloat in No Man's Sky.
Yep. All right, until next time, get ready for Game of the Year stuff. We are finalizing our lists.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be talking to you next week.
All three are Hearthstone.